I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
We are here today with a married couple in South Florida. They are in business together, digital marketing consultants. They've spent years, these two folks spent many years helping businesses increase their revenues literally by the tens of millions of dollars. And then at some point in time, we're going to talk to them about this. Their relationship hit a bit of a wall. They had some struggles. But they did what Julie talks a lot about doing, not pulling away. Instead, they leaned in, and they leaned in and they founded this very interesting company that we're going to talk about called Couplepreneurs, where they work with entrepreneur couples with strategies to grow their own businesses and work those businesses, grow the businesses without growing apart, which I really love that. I love that tagline. So welcome aboard, Kyle and Ariel. How are you two doing?
Absolutely. We're doing good. Good to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So let's start with the tougher stuff first, okay? Tell us a little bit about how long you had been together, how long you'd been married, how much you had been working together, and then what was going on that led you to that sort of aha, we could be in trouble moment.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start with just the basics. So we have been together for now almost 12 years, over 12 years, almost 12 years, something like that.
12 of the best years of our lives. Come on.
And, you know, we knew each other at a pretty young age, but I know specifically for us, kind of like our story and where we got to be where we are today is, do you know what it's called when people get married and like that phase right after their marriage?
The honeymoon phase.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So most people go through the honeymoon phase. We actually had the complete opposite. We got married and we kind of fell into what we now coined the anti-honeymoon phase that a lot of other entrepreneur couples experience, but nobody was talking about. And we didn't know that we were not the only ones that go through this. So prior to getting married, both of us came from pretty humble beginnings. We grew up in a small town in Ohio amidst cornfields and all the things. We had separate businesses. I had my own business. I had a dog grooming salon, and I later went on to have an organic marketing coaching business. Kyle was a digital marketing consultant, and by the blessing of both of our businesses, we were able to self-fund our dream wedding in the Bahamas. And, you know, I know when we got married, we thought because we were both entrepreneurs and we were both driven and ambitious that things were only going to get better from there. But instead, what happened is after we got married, we got home, we both dove back into work, and we spent the majority of our time in our separate offices. And we went from feeling like this like really romantic couple to just feeling like roommates who were just kind of in the same household, right? And we started experiencing those issues that we now talk a lot about. Like, how do you stop talking or thinking about work when you're both in the business? How do you and your partner align on the vision and the goals and where you want to go and the different approaches to getting there? How do you feedback to each other? And how do you just basically grow a business without feeling like it comes at the expense of your relationship and your health and all the other things that you care about, right? So for us, as our busyness started to increase, we found that our intimacy started to decrease. And that's when our income and our businesses ironically actually flatlined.
Yeah. So. And it also led to a power struggle, if I could be honest, between Ariel and myself, because I had my business that was thriving. Ariel had her business that was thriving. We had a little bit of conflict in our relationship, really for the first time in a long time. And I thought, you know what would be a great solution to solve this conflict would be, Ariel, why don't you just come work for me? You could be my assistant. And for whatever reason, I thought that was
I'm
a smart
take
idea.
Take a wild guess that that didn't go over all that was, well.
That's a pretty good guess. spot on. It actually made matters worse. So if you can imagine, we find ourselves just after a few months of getting married, looking around at ourselves going like, well, what do we do now? Yeah. We don't want to sacrifice our businesses for our marriage, but we sure as heck don't want to sacrifice our marriage for our businesses. So like, what do we do in this fork of the road? And I remember the day that changed everything for us was a day where I just went into a guest room of our home and just started praying out to God, just asking for an answer because there were no podcasts or YouTube videos or, you know, coaching companies that were specifically about entrepreneur couples at the time. And I'll never forget getting out of that room. And I went to the last place that anybody should usually go to find answers for life's biggest questions, which is social media.
Oh, I thought a bar. I was going to say a bar.
Bar. I mean, you can find answers in a bar. But
yeah, I mean, those are probably up there as well. But for this time specifically, it was social media. But ironically, that day, what I saw on social media was a video that Ariel was doing for her business on Facebook Live. And it was like I saw my wife from a completely different lens that I'd never saw before. Because in that video, there were comments from women all over the world saying, Ariel, thank you. Thank you for showing up and sharing what you have with the rest of the world. Because of what Ariel was doing, it was helping businesses grow and women start and grow businesses from home using just social media to make six figures in revenue. And for whatever reason, that was like the first time in my relationship where I realized, wait a second, if I would just take my wife's superpower and just make her my quote unquote assistant, I would be actually robbing the world of the gifts that God gave her to shine. So that was like a paradigm shift where I ran out of the room. I found my wife and I'm like, hey, Ariel, I am so sorry. Clearly you're an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. What if instead of trying to compete with each other, we took our individual passions and pointed them towards a unified purpose? And that question changed everything, because from that moment forward, we're like, you know what? We are going to create our own new way of doing life and business as an entrepreneur couple. So we had no idea what we were doing at the time. We were just learning everything we could about marriage, about business, about working together and team dynamics and all these different things. And we started customizing those things for the unique challenges of being an entrepreneur couple. And it didn't happen overnight, but over time, what started to happen was phenomenal. Well, all of a sudden, we went from feeling completely disconnected to feeling more on fire for each other for the first time in a long time. We became each other's biggest fans again. Yeah. We became excited about the future because we figured out how we could both align on the direction of our businesses and the decisions required along the way. We figured out how can we leverage each other's strengths to each other's benefit versus competing with each other. And you guys want to know what happened? You want to know what happened with our income when we did this? Not only did our intimacy increase, of course,
yeah,
but our income went from being completely flatlined mm-hmm. to skyrocketing.
That's awesome.
So
that's
like, awesome. What was so crazy about this is we're like, wait a second, what just happened? Like we felt like a new business strategy was going to be the thing to like help us grow our business. But what we discovered in that moment is when you could take the time to work on your dynamic as a couple, that is what radically shifts your ability to make money in business. So you know how like if you go on a date night and you don't post it on social media, it didn't really happen. You guys know what I'm talking about?
We do.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So what would happen for us is we would post these little date night stories we were doing mm-hmm. on social media. Yeah. And people started reaching out to us saying, Kyle and Ariel, like, how do you guys grow a business together and not hate each other? Like, how do you still like each other and not kill each other? How do you still like each other and grow businesses successfully as a couple?
Yeah.
And after we just helped and coached a couple people, we were like, you know what? Maybe this is something we could do together. Fast forward, you know, I never had any thought of what it was going to do, but fast forward to today, after years and years and years of coaching entrepreneur couples and talking to thousands of entrepreneur couples from all over the world, we're so very blessed to say that we have seen more and more couples who are growing businesses together without growing apart in the process. We have couples that are doing anywhere from like 100 grand to 300 grand to sometimes $2 million months that we've worked with. And the best thing about that is they could do all of that without having to sacrifice the thing that matters most, which is their relationship with each other. And that's what brings us to what we do today. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love your story. So I'm very curious, you know, as a couples therapist, mm-hmm. what boundaries do you guys put into the work that you do personally? And what do you help? How do you help couples with the boundaries? Because that's a very big issue. I know David and I struggle a bit with that in terms of like, okay, we've talked about like doing posts or what's going to be on our podcast or even when we're writing books. And it's hard to pull back and stop that conversation to be like, okay, now we're on a date.
Yes.
So what is your take on that? How do you do it?
Yeah. So I will say the boundaries have shifted depending on the specific season that we're in. So we're big believers that you can have it all, but sometimes not all at once at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so we believe that there's different seasons for life. So for us specifically, when it comes to the boundaries, one of the boundaries that we have, we always create the space for whatever it is that we want to prioritize in our life. So for example, if we're prioritizing our relationship, which is always, you know, at somewhere near the top of what we're prioritizing, mm-hmm. we have like our standard date nights, right? We also have like certain times that we decide when work starts and mm-hmm. when work stops.
Yes.
Is the key mm-hmm. thing for yeah. us.
Yeah.
And admittedly, we started out with kind of like a harsh boundary of like, when we go on a date night, we're not going to talk about work at all. Mm-hmm. But what started to happen is, you know, as seasons shifted, we were like, you know, we like talking about work sometimes. I like hearing about what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of the times that is work. Mm-hmm. And so we don't need to put ourselves under these super harsh boundaries. Mm-hmm. But what we do need to be in agreement on is the boundaries. We need mm-hmm. to agree on what that boundary actually looks like.
Yeah, there's really three core boundaries that we've helped a lot of entrepreneur couples establish. The first boundary is the one that Ariel just discussed, which is boundaries between each other. Yeah. And that boundary looks like answering the question as a couple of being aligned on when does work start and when does work stop?
Yeah.
And are we going to commit to that? Which means if we mm-hmm. agreed that it was going to stop at this time, we are both making a mutual agreement that that is what's going to happen. That's yeah. the first boundary. The second boundary is boundaries with other close friends or relatives in our life. Mm. And what that looks like is us coming together as a couple and agreeing on, okay, when are we going to have conversations or let people into our house for, yeah. that are close relatives, in-laws, family members, et cetera. Whereas I'm sure you guys have seen many couples, one person might feel totally fine having a revolving mm-hmm. door in their life where people can walk in and out, but it creates mm-hmm. resentment in the relationship. So for us to protect our work time and our romance time and our family time, we also have to be very careful about who we let in from the outside in. So that is the second boundary we help set up. And there's ways to communicate that in ways that aren't harsh and lead to problems. It's just respecting your own time enough to help others respect it as well. Which leads to the third boundary that we help a lot of couples implement, which is essentially boundaries with clients. Now, you wouldn't think it, but there are many business owners who basically give their clients access to them 24/7. Especially, you know, there's a couple we work with, they work in the real estate space. They own a very successful mortgage brokerage company. And when they came to work with us, one of their biggest struggles was, we want to have more time for each other and we want to have more time for business. But man, like we feel like we're just on constant demand of mm-hmm. our clients. They can call us at any point.
Yeah. And we feel like we have to be that way in order mm-hmm. to earn their business.
So what we did yep. is help them lovingly create and communicate mm-hmm. to their clients boundaries in advance, which actually stopped all of the incoming calls outside of the work hours that they set up. So what did this couple do? Number one, they figured out when are we working and when do we want to stop working? And number right. two, based on the response times that they planned, when they were onboarding clients for the first time and in their communication to their clients, they regularly tell their clients, hey, if you have any questions, I'm ready and open to answer those questions for you between the hours of mm-hmm. 9 and 7. And like all of a sudden just communicating those boundaries lovingly to their clients, it stopped all of those incoming calls that sometimes they would get at 9 and 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. So let me shift to the business side
yeah.
for a moment. The couple's business portion. We're going to talk about the intimacy and the dividing line and all that as well. But
sure.
But here you've got, and in your case, as you said, you started off saying, why don't you come over and be my assistant, which we have to go much further. I knew the bomb was going to drop from
yes,
there.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
If I had been a little guy on your shoulder, I'd have stabbed you in the neck before the words came out.
I needed that.
But I knew that was coming. So, but when you have couples that are in business together, mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that there's lots of different permutations of that, right?
Yeah.
But however that takes, it seems to me, if they're together, whether they're married or they're a committed couple, that there's got to be sort of this kind of co-CEO sort of setup. And how does that work? You know, how do you help folks, especially, you know, if you've got folks who are entrepreneurs, these are not generally quiet people that sit behind a computer and add numbers all day. These are type A's and people used to getting themselves out there and doing what they got to do. So how do you work with folks like that, you know, in this push and pull just on the business side?
Yeah.
They're sleeping together, they're eating together, they're going out together, they're raising their kids together, and then they're in business together. But they got to be this little back and forth. How do you deal with that on the business front?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will say that we definitely see different dynamics between couples. There's kind of like one type of couplepreneur, which is one package deal, so to speak, where one of them is very visionary, very creative, very driving the vision forward. And the other one is what some people would call that integrator, right? They're the ones that are responsible for like the operations, the behind the scenes, et cetera. And that partnership is okay. Yeah, right.
For all you listening, Julie's pointing at me right now as the integrator, which is probably true.
He's the detail guy. Yeah. I just kind of come in and create.
Smile and look pretty. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's like one dynamic that we see a lot of. Now, we also see another side, which is two just very strong-willed visionary people. And that's kind of the side that Kyle and I fall on. Now, it's not to say that, you know, both people can't be visionaries, both people can't be integrators or more operationally driven in certain parts and when it's required. But what it is to say is those are typically the two different dynamics that we see. Mm-hmm. But regardless, it all comes down to having an immense amount of respect for the strengths that your partner does bring to the table. Mm-hmm. If, you know, when Kyle and I were coming together, there was a little bit of a power struggle between us because we both had separate businesses and we now had to learn how to share the power as co-CEOs, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
And both have a vision for where we want the business to go and how we're going to get there. But there were many times that we don't agree on the approach to getting there, what it looks like, you know, what steps we're going to take next, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it really comes down to being able to know that what are the differences between the two of us and when can I lean on my partner to run with his strengths or, you know, when he can run with my strengths, depending on the specific scenario that we're in.
Yeah. So a great example for Ariel and I, who are both co-CEOs of this business. Yeah. When people listen to this, they might think there's no way that that would work, right? But no, truthfully, it does. And here's why. One of the differences between Ariel and myself is Ariel is a lot more accuracy minded. I am a lot more efficiency minded. So Ariel tends to be the person that could get into the nitty gritty, focus on one project at one time for months in advance if she needs to. Whereas I'm more of like the quick hit, like very quick thinking, asking myself, okay, what is the fastest path to getting to where we need to be? And how this shows up is we know that we have this tension already. And because we know that we have this tension, our entire goal is to make decisions between those two poles. So an example of this could look like recently, we just shifted over to a new CRM. And Ariel is the one, because she's accuracy minded, she did all of the research of all the different CRMs, and she would come to me with the options. My efficiency mind would look at those options and say, okay, between those, let's go with this one. And then she's like, okay, again, accuracy research. She's going through and researching all the different tools that this CRM has. And she says, Kyle, here are all the things that this technology could do for us. We should set it all up now so that way it's up in advance. And then later on the road, we can use all of this stuff since we're going to need it.
Yeah, let's set it all up right now.
Yeah. Whereas my efficiency brain comes in and says, hey, by the time you set all that up, which is going to be a 2 to 3 month gap between now and the time when that's finished, think about the opportunity costs that we're going to have with directing our focus there versus other places. So how about we just set up the bare essentials we need now, get it up and running, and we can always add the stuff later. So because we respected both of our different perspectives on that, we were able to come to a conclusion of what CRM to use and how to use it and how to roll it out in the future. And that's how we come to conclusions together on a day-to-day basis, even though we're both very strong-willed.
Yeah.
Okay. So so let's take this to new clients of yours, right? Yeah. We've rung you up. We're sitting down to talk. We run, pick a business. It's a clothing business, whatever, whatever it may be. It doesn't make any difference. We're married. We've been in business together. We're having a lot of struggles. Things are a little flat. We're not selling what we want. We're not doing expanding like we want to. And we come to you. What's the jump off point? What do you do with these folks to sort of start getting them started, getting them thinking about how to grow and to move forward?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you after hundreds and hundreds of private coaching conversations with entrepreneur couples from a lot of different industries, there is a tried and true path that we have discovered to help any entrepreneur couple go from, hey, we're kind of stuck, we're plateauing, we have some issues, to getting very clear, very aligned, and very confident once again on how to move the business forward. There's really four steps, and it kind of rhymes, which makes it easy.
Okay, I'm all ears. All right.
Those steps, I was big on limericks when I was a kid. So
There we go. Well, the key is we have to get aligned on four core areas. Yeah. Our vision, our goals, our strategy, and our roles. In that exact order.
Vision, goals, strategy.
Yep. Roles.
Okay, got it.
In that exact order. The vision is where we ultimately want our lifestyle to end up and what our legacy is that we want to leave behind.
Yeah.
Without that in place first, the goals are kind of arbitrary and decided, you know, randomly based on what we think we might want or what somebody else says we should want. The goals are the numerical milestones that we set in place that we can measure our progress towards creating the vision that we want. Yeah. The strategy is dictated based on our vision and our goals. A lot of times people will come to us who, you know, want to grow their business, and they might already have a few strategies in mind as to how they believe would be best to grow their business. But when we take the time as a couple working with them and having them as a couple decide on what they ultimately want to create for themselves and what their goals are, sometimes the strategy that they come with doesn't have anything to do with the lifestyle that they want to create. So our goal in helping any entrepreneur couple, or really any entrepreneur period, is helping you actually create a strategy for growth that makes your vision and your lifestyle that you want a reality, not going against it. So what we do with entrepreneur couples is we help them define and create strategies to grow their business based on their vision, their goals, and their strengths as a couple. Yeah. So out of all the millions of things that you could do to grow your business, there really are a core few things that will really move the needle the most for you based on your vision and your goals and your strengths as a couple. And then once you figured out those things, those strategies are essentially step-by-step processes you could take to achieve your goals. And then once you have that step-by-step, all you have to do is then divide those between you and your partner and your team in order to make that vision a reality.
Yeah, because whatever strategy you come up with is going to come with a set of responsibilities and tasks and things underneath. And that's when you use that to divide roles.
Yeah, and we just are very blessed with the experience we've had of growing companies over the last 10 years. So out of all the grab bags of potential strategies you could choose from, we will help couples customize the strategy that is best suited for them.
What do you do? Because, you know, I see this all the time. And, you know, David and I have worked with lots of couples, and I've had lots of couples in my office where they come to you with, you know, we want, you know, better communication in the family, or we want our kids to behave. And then you, you know, take a look into the process of how they're treating each other, and that, you know, you talked about that respect piece. And what do you do if you have, you know, miscommunication, disrespectfulness? Like, how do you deal with that?
You want to take that?
Yeah. Well, in the context of a disrespectful situation, a lot of times when we look at couples who are in a situation like that, there's really two sides of the coin. You know, on one hand, you have someone who is feeling disrespect towards their partner, and that disrespect might have been something that was valid and reasonable based on the experience that they've had with their partner, but over time turns into a habitual resentment that consistently refuels the same cycle that they're trying to avoid in the first place. So there's that one side of the coin. So if you're listening to this and you're somebody who is, you know, kind of like not respecting your partner, we're here to say that probably they did something to create that disrespect. But also, if you want to make it better, we have to reach a point of forgiveness and grace to see them for who they could be, not blaming them for who they were. So that's the part of the person doing the disrespect.
I like that answer.
If you're someone who is being disrespected, that's the other side of the coin, right? We have to first look at ourselves and ask ourselves, okay, if my partner doesn't respect me, what have I done to maybe create that lens in which she's viewing me from or he's viewing me from? And sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's not, but it's just great to start by that, by asking that question, because at the end of the day, all of us as human beings can only control two things: our actions and our attitudes. So if we are in charge and responsible for ourselves, we first want to ask ourselves, okay, is there something that I am doing that is causing disrespect for my partner? And by the way, if we don't know, a really cool technique would be to sit down with your partner and ask them, like, hey, I feel a little disrespected. What is it about what I'm doing that causes this disrespect, and how can we reverse it? So what we've seen with couples who find themselves in this situation is we take this disrespect cycle and we completely reverse it. How? The person who is doing the disrespecting, they start to go on kind of a criticism detox for a while and start looking for all of the things that they do respect and do appreciate about their partner. While they do that, the partner that originally felt disrespected has a whole new identity of I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do everything I say I'm going to do. Because the more I do what I say I'm going to do and I keep the commitments I make to my partner, I am going to gain more respect for myself and also more respect for my partner. As that cycle begins to happen, the disrespect starts to go away and it creates what we call couple confidence. You know the term self-confidence, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Self-confidence. If you break down the word confidence, the word confidence means to confide in. So when you are self-confident, you are confiding in yourself. You could trust yourself. Yep. But when partners can trust each other to do the things they say they're going to do, it creates couple confidence. And that's how you have that magnetic trust and alignment in entrepreneur couples who can walk into a room and get the gaze of anybody else and who are revered as power couples.
So let's for just a minute. Now I'd like to slip over to the intimacy piece of things.
Okay.
Right. So you work together, you're doing your work 9 to 7, whatever the hours are. And we're supposed to go out tonight.
Yeah.
And it's been a bumpy day.
Yep.
Not to mention we've had bumped heads over clients X, Y, or Z. What's this? You know, the last thing one of us might want to do is to take the other's clothes off and jump into bed or go have a glass of wine or whatever it might be, right?
Yep.
So how do you, and I got to think that you've spoken with couples who have this issue.
Yes.
So what do you tell them without giving away all your secrets, obviously, but what do you tell them in terms of how to sort of manage that transition so that you don't lose that couple's confidence that you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. You actually just used the word that we use, which is the transition. So we call it triggering the transition, which basically what that means is if you're going from being what we would call work mode, right, where it's very task oriented, very responsibility heavy, and then you want to be romantic, you need to go from essentially being very much in your head to being a lot more in your body and much more feeling. And in order to do that, there has to be kind of this transitional period in between that work mode and that what we would call romance mode. Mm-hmm. So for us, we have a couple of different like techniques, we call them, to trigger that transition, which I'll give you a couple of them. The first one is what we call nostalgic transitions. So nostalgic transitions is really leveraging that human ability to look at something and mirror the emotion. So for example, if there is a time in the past where maybe you felt a lot of joy, a lot of excitement, and maybe ideally you have it captured in a photo or a video, you can look at those photos and those videos. And when you look at that, that will cause your body and your neurochemistry, so to speak, to like mirror what it's seeing. And so what we'll often do is we'll use what we call nostalgic transitions. We'll use nostalgia to trigger that romantic, joyful feeling that we want. So we'll look at videos from past date nights where we were having a good time together. We'll look at videos from our wedding that we can kind of mirror those emotions, and it causes us to get back into that feeling of feeling a lot of joy and gratitude and even romance for our partner. So that's one of them. So nostalgic transitions. What are some other ones?
Well, one that I think is easy for anyone to implement is just honestly changing your appearance in order to trigger a different mindset.
So it's a funny story.
Here's
a funny story for you. Right? So during the pandemic, you know, everybody's locked down, and we worked really hard to square out times on a Saturday night or Friday night, whatever it was. And Julia came downstairs one night in the same clothes that she had on all day. Now, listen, she's working from home. She looks great. She's seeing clients on Zoom, and she comes down. And I said, no. Get your social work clothes off and let's go put on some, even though we're not going anywhere, let's put on something as if we were going out. And even now, you know, if she's wearing, she might look great during the course of the day. I'll still say, no.
Go change.
Go put something out, you know. But I think that's an awesome idea.
I think
it's a great idea since I did it already.
He wants to take credit for that one too.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. And for me, it's just when Ariel puts on heels for whatever reason,
like immediately triggers me.
Even if I'm working with her all day long, that immediately triggers that. There are a whole bunch of other things. I'll tell you one that apparently only I and maybe Gary V share, which I'm like, all right, me and Gary V, we could have this mentality. That's fine. And I actually call it the mortality frame. Now this one's a little weird, but run with me here.
Okay.
When we are so focused on our work or what we're doing today, and our mind is just engulfed in problem solving all day long, sometimes you need some really strong stimulus breaking, pattern breaking thought patterns in order to get away from thinking about work to actually appreciate the gift that is being present with your significant other. For me, I have gone as extreme as whenever I'm about to be present with Ariel, whether I'm going on a date night or just sitting at dinner with her, I remind myself, I have no idea when I'm going to die. Mm. I have no idea. But here's what I do know. There will be a time where we are both going to die. And one of us most likely is going to die before the other. So if I already know that, here's what we also know. That means that no matter what, on our deathbed, we're going to wish that we spent more time with our partner. We already know that.
Present with our partner.
And that we were more present and that we actually enjoyed the gifts that we had before it would be inevitably gone. We already know this. And sometimes it's easy to forget that. And for whatever reason, reminding myself of that allows me to go, okay, wait a second. I can't even promise tomorrow. I can't promise the next day. But you know what I can guarantee? I am with my wife right now. Yeah. And because I'm with her right now, I am not going to let this moment pass by and add to the list of regrets I'm going to have at the end of my life.
Very good. That's great. That's what worship. I love that.
That's awesome.
I'm going to use that. I love it.
Okay. You guys run some conferences during the course of the year, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those and how people might be able to sign up if they wanted to come or see you.
Yeah.
So we have an annual conference called Couplepreneurs Live. So we have Couplepreneurs Live 2025. At the time of this recording, it's happening April 10th and 11th of 2025.
Oh, awesome. Soon. Yes.
So we have one coming up, but we run one per year. And basically, you can just go to kyleandariel.com/CP live for all the details on that.
I love these conferences because essentially what it allows us to do is bring entrepreneur couples together from all over the world to have conversations that only we would understand if we're in business together with our spouse. Yeah. We also bring together speakers that have built eight-figure companies alongside their significant other with decades of marriage experience who could share, hey, at each stage of business growth, here's what we could focus on in our business to go to the next level. Here's also what we could focus on in our relationship to go to the next level. And these types of conversations we've noticed like aren't really covered in any other business conference or seminar, which is why we created it. So essentially what these are a mix of conference setting experiences mixed with workshops where you and your partner can actually take the information you're learning and implement it right then and there.
I love that.
I'm sure we've all gone to conferences where we walk away with a lot of ideas, but when you can have conversations right there with your partner, that's what makes everything shift.
Yeah. And David and I are big proponents of goal setting in relationships. And I love that you're sort of combining some of the business and the personal stuff together. Because I think it's so important to be able to do that. He gets sick of hearing about it, but we do every year on our anniversary. We sit down and make new goals and go over, you know.
She gets the book out every 3 months or so. You know, like, oh, I don't want to look at that book again.
But it helps. It really does help. You guys are just adorable. What a beautiful couple. We are so happy that you were able to come on. If people want to get in touch with you. You tell us places. I know you have a website and where else can they find you?
Yeah. So I think a good place is, our Instagram. So at Couplepreneurs is our handle. And, if you want, like, you know, people can go to our Instagram and just send us a message with the word, vision. And that will basically, we'll send them something called a vision date exercise. That exercise is designed to help you and your partner get on the same page with your goals as well. But essentially map out, what does that ultimate vision look like for your life, for your business? Where do you want to go? There's a specific process for doing that. So if you want, just send us a message on Instagram with the word vision and let us know that you heard us on this podcast too.
Yes.
That's terrific. You know, you guys, I really think that, that the last half hour or so is going to be very valuable to a lot of couples out there who are in business together, whether it's full-time or part-time or what they do. And we, as a couple that's in business together, are very appreciative that you took your time. We've enjoyed the conversation. We're going to keep watching you from afar and maybe show up at a conference or two if we can get out of this,
or next time we're down in Florida, we're going to come
to the mid-Atlantic and move to where, get to where it's warmer. But as usual, folks, we are The Bullitts, TheBullitts at The Bullitts on all social media platforms. You can email us, text us, direct message us, and come back next time for Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.